This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we head into the weekend. It's a Friday edition of Waddle and Sylvie. Waddle on vacation one more day. He'll be back on Monday visiting his parents in Tennessee today. And we'll talk Monday Night Football both today. Then when he's back, obviously, be pregame show mode. I know Wilbon's going to join us that day. Steve Levy, the voice of Monday Night Football, will join us up on Monday. But we've got a weekend where we've got a big college football slate with the Big Ten back. It starts tonight. We've got an NFL slate where we're able to watch and gauge the league. And we've always talked about, especially on this show, how we love to watch the NFL and measure what we know about our Bears or what we think we know about our Bears versus how the rest of the league looks. And I think it's always good because while we always put the Bears under the microscope, we don't always do that with the rest of the league. And I think when we get these days, we understand that almost every team in this league is flawed and there is no dominant team, and that it is possible that if the Bears can get some stuff right and get some offense hammered out, that who knows what could happen this year. But I want to take your calls at 312-332-3776. Black is here. Abdallah's here as usual. There will be no fighting today. Maybe a trash talk word or two. But the dust, I feel, has settled on what has happened in the last 24 hours. But anything you want to react on, that number is here for you. Also, it's a Football Friday brought to you by our friends at Miller Lite. And they're the ones who power the Twitch channel. Welcome to everyone in the Twitch channel. You can see the First Midwest Bank studio there. Is the producer's cam on today, boys?
Of course it is. Look at Black. Black, wave, 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 wave. I'll wave, I'll wave.
Very Hello. Dark. Is that Hello. Because it's so dark and rainy and dreary outside? Or is it because you guys like the
Well,
the
we're radio
lighting?
Producers. You know how radio people are. We like it. We live in the dark. We live in caves. Yesterday was beautiful outside. I didn't know because we were in a dark cave.
We're in a cave.
We're in a cave.
No, Sylvia, I think what it is because the camera is actually inside the on-air studio. And so the on-air studio where you would normally be, there's glass. There's thick glass in between the two different
Soundproof.
Studios. And the way we have to set the lights to even see in here is kind of a lower, darker view. And then in here, like, this is as bright as it gets in the producer studio.
Plus all the buttons that Chris presses are lit up, so, like, he doesn't need, you know...
Yeah, you could work in the dark.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was born in it.
Yes,
when
we
they
were.
When they revamped our First Midwest Bank studio upstairs, where you see Black and Abdallah right now, where the producer's cam is or where it's pointing to, that used to be the on-air portion of it. They did the flip-flop. Now the on-air portion is where the producers used to see, like the old Mac Yurko and Harry show used to be in that studio before we had the State Street studio sponsored by First Midwest Bank. So cool behind-the-scenes stuff powered by Miller Lite. And if you want to have a virtual happy hour with us, open up an ice-cold Miller Lite. We love to do that. I had a couple of glasses last night of my favorite beverage and watched some football and watched Daniel Jones trip all over himself. Then I watched Evan Ingram drop a football. Then I watched Carson Wentz look like Carson Wentz from 3 years ago with the dime that he dropped with the game-winning touchdown. As much as that was a blank show between two really bad NFC East, and you guys know my ire for the NFC East these days, it still provided really good entertainment in the end.
Yeah, it was a good game, and I think that if you're a Bears fan, it makes you feel better about Monday night, right? Because two of the wins that the Rams have are against those two teams, and those teams are bad. Real bad.
Bad. That whole division, bad.
Real bad. And so, again, you know, we've stressed it yesterday. We stressed it the day before. Winnable game. Very winnable game. The Bears are a good cover on the road, especially when they're a dog. So I think that this, you know, it just shows that this team can, if the formula is right, and there is a formula to beat the Rams, if you look at their two losses, the Bills and the 49ers, what are they known for? Punch you in the face defense, running it down your throat, good quarterback play when it needs to happen. Can the Bears replicate that formula?
What's the toughest part of that formula for the Bears to replicate?
Running the ball.
On that run game?
Yeah, running the ball. You know the defense is going to be there, so it's running the ball.
It should be there, yes, especially against Jared Goff. We've talked a lot about that in the last couple of years and how bad he's looked against our defense in these two games. Here's the assumption I mentioned in the pre-show. I didn't even poll this question because I think it's assumed now. Or you guys tell me, are you assuming when you talk to your buddies, when you talk to your friends about the Bears as we head into week 7 of the NFL slate, and maybe on Tuesday it will be changed. I am assuming right now, I'm in the mode that the Bears are indeed a playoff team. I don't think it's if, I think it's when and how they make the postseason. They have, as the cool people like to say, they have banked 5 wins. We assume with one extra playoff spot. Now remember, there are 3 wild card teams, 4 division winners, 3 wild card teams. It's easier than ever to make the postseason. We mentioned earlier in the week that even when there were 2 wild card teams, you had like an 83% chance to get into the postseason when you start 5-1. Now you add the extra postseason team. You see how all of these teams are going to beat each other up in all the divisions. The NFC South is one of those divisions. The West is going to be one of these divisions. We have a really good game there between Seattle and Arizona. You know, they're going to beat the Rams and the 49ers played last week. They're going to beat each other up. And I feel like I'm assuming today on, you play this back and you can bite me back, I will not ban the audio, okay? It's my vow to you two. We'll not ban this audio. Friday, October 23rd. I am telling you today, I am assuming, I don't need to be shown, that the Bears are a postseason team. Do you guys agree with me?
I agree with you 100%, Sylvie, and this is why. If they do not make the playoffs, that would mean, based on the mathematics of what we have left in this schedule, that they would have an epic collapse. And if that epic collapse takes place, that would also mean we would be doing shows in early January talking about Matt Nagy being fired as Bears head coach and Ryan Pace being fired as GM of the Chicago Bears. If they miss the playoffs after being 5-1 with the odds, all the odds in their favor, all they have to do is split the games, get to 10 wins, get to 9 wins. Don't even split. Go 4-6 over the next 10. You'll make the playoffs because of what you laid out, Sylvie, with the additional playoff spot this season and what the odds suggest are in their favor starting the season 5-1. So if they do have that epic collapse, they will clean house. That's going to be unacceptable if they do not make the playoffs from this point on.
And Black, 5-1 has been a little turbulent on like the day after the games. You know, 5-5, which we think they're going to do. I think they're going to do 5-5. I don't worry about 4-6. You got all 3 of the division teams at home still to play. Like, you should beat the Vikings the way they're going. You should beat the Lions at home. We'll see how they do against the Packers in those couple of games. Maybe you sweep the Vikings here. Like, right there, to me, and then after you get through this really rough spot of the schedule, it eases up. You have a Jacksonville game. Jacksonville stinks. There are games that you should be able to win to get to 5-5 and to 10 wins. Like, I'm looking at this defense and I'm looking at everything, and I am in that mode where I'm just, okay, now what is it? Are they going to win the division, or are they going to be a wild card team? Are they going to surprise us and rack up 11 or 12 and continue to play winning football over the last 10? Or are they just going to go 5-5 and do what they have to do to get one of the 2 last wild card spots? That, to me, is the question. 312-332-3776.
Well, we also say, you know, there's the extra team, right? So
right.
What have people been saying? Yeah, what have people been saying? It's an 80% when teams that are 5-1 have like an 83%. It's higher.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know math, but let's say it's 90%. Probably not. It's probably like 87%. Let's say 87. Tom Waddle, 87%. The Bears have an 87% chance because of the extra team. There shouldn't be hunting season this year. You shouldn't get the graphic, you know, in week 14 when we're watching Sunday Night Football and whatever team is playing and they're like, in the hunt. And it's like the Bears and, you know, the Cowboys at 2-7 or whatever they are at that point. And, you know, all these other teams that are in the hunt. The Bears should be in that position that already have a playoff spot. Like, the Bears should be in that space at 5-1 because, like Chris said, think about the epic collapse. Just look at the schedule and think about the collapse that would have to happen. I mean, right now, you've got a Saints team now that's not going to have Michael Thomas because of the hamstring, and they just put Who was it? Hold on, I'm scrolling. They just put another, they put Emmanuel Sanders on the COVID-19 list. For coming in contact with someone who has or has had the illness. So they're going to be down. So these are all winnable games. These are all winnable. I don't see a game on the schedule I'm like, the Bears are going to get trucked. Maybe one of the Packers games, but even still, the should be competitive games. I don't think there's a game on the schedule left where I'm like, the Bears are just going to get manhandled in that game.
They shouldn't, no. And look, we talked about the East. There are no teams except the division winner coming out of that division. In the NFC South, it's Tampa and New Orleans coming out of there. I believe Carolina will, you know, it was a nice win last week. They're a 500 team probably at best. They'll settle in there. So like one wild card team out of there. Okay. Now you have room for two more, including the Bears. So Seattle. And then this is the key. This is why there's a big game, because the Cardinals, Rams, and 49ers are all good. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping they're going to just continue to beat each other up where, you know, none of those teams will be above 10-6, except maybe Seattle if they continue to do what they're doing. And as Matt Nagy said after that last win, another reason why he was so happy last week against Carolina, I believe so far this year, the Bears are 5-0 against the NFC. And those conference wins.
Yeah, they're
5-0 against the conference. They've already beaten Tampa, so that's huge in tiebreakers with teams that you're going to be fighting for in the wild card. So, you know, with 10 games left on the schedule, winnable games, I expect this Bears team to be in the postseason. What they can do in that postseason, that's what they need to prove to us here, especially offensively over the last 10.
Only two teams in the NFC are undefeated at the moment. Seattle is 3-0. The Bears are 5-0 in the conference. And you're right, Sylvie, this Rams game is huge because right now the Rams hold that last wild card spot in the NFC. And you mentioned that the Saints are going to get in. Right now, the Saints, if the playoffs started today, the Saints would be the first team out of the NFC playoffs. So, I mean, this is going to be a big game against the Rams. And that Saints game coming up, you know, right now they're not a playoff team. And like Abdallah laid out, they're missing pieces. So, beatable Saints team as well.
All right, we have a developing story, too, involving the NBA that I want to pass along that may surprise you, especially because of what we had been hearing from the NBA and how long their season can be and when it's going to start. Woj has dropped some knowledge. We'll get to this developing story coming up next. If you want to weigh in on the Bears, 312-332-3776. When you talk to your friends about the Bears, when you map out the playoff teams, are you assuming after seeing them these first six games at 5-1 that this team is going to be a playoff team? Or do you proceed with caution considering what happened when the Bears were 7-1 and they were 10-6 and they didn't get in? But remember, that was without that extra playoff team. So I've got developing NBA news. We also want to pick your brain on your favorite weekend football game. Is it in the Big Ten? Is it in college football? Is it in the NFL? We've got our slate clean because we don't have to watch the Bears on Sunday, so we can watch the games that we want to watch and then get to Bears football on Monday. 312-332-3776. It's a Football Friday.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
A lot of football to discuss today on this Football Friday. We do have NBA developing news. I don't know if it's breaking yet. if it's breaking news, sounder worthy. Woj is reporting this within the last 15 minutes, and he had a story this morning that the Board of Governors and the NBA was meeting today, and that things look to change. Because remember, the Commissioner Adam Silver said, we plan on starting the season after New Year's. We plan on playing the full 82-game season, and we plan on having fans in the stands. Now, things aren't improving as far as the numbers, and having people indoors in the winter is tough to envision before we get any sort of vaccine here. So it looks like they're going to change plans. And as one listener mentioned, it could have to do with some of the lower ratings from late in the summer. Woj is saying that the NBA is planning to continue discussions with the NBAPA, the Players Association, on the 2020-2021 start plans that would include opening night in the days prior to Christmas. The season would be 70 to 72 games and would have a play-in tournament, sources tell ESPN. He continues, NBA and Board of Governors continued discussions on call today about playing something resembling more of a baseball series to limit travel outside of the bubble. For example, a team might travel to New York and play its two road games against the Knicks and then one against the Nets. So, you know, you would usually play two home games against the Knicks and two home games against the Knicks and two on the road against the Knicks. You would just knock them all out at once. So this is very interesting, boys. I know how big of fans you are of the NBA. We thought after New Year's, 82-game schedule, but it looks like they're going to shorten this thing and they're going to really change the way the schedule is mapped out.
Yeah, from what I've kind of gathered with all this is that the way science and the country and the world is kind of handling COVID-19 is kind of dictating a lot of this, right? Like pushing it off to next year, the start date in January or February, with the idea of having people in the stands and having a normal 82-game schedule, was with the idea of a vaccine being available for people, right? And for it being approved and kind of life getting back to normal. But I think if you follow along with what is out there scientifically, is that even if there is a vaccine in the spring, the chances are pretty low that most people are going to have it immediately, sure. Right? Like they are saying that mask wearing and social distancing may have to carry all the way to the start of 2022, just because not enough people will have access or have the vaccine throughout the course of 2021. And that's assuming that immediately when we get to New Year's, that there will be a vaccine, right, Sylvie? So
that's what we're hoping. I mean,
yeah. And it's a hope. And absolutely, it seems like all the trials are going the best they can at the moment. And it's something to look forward to. But to plan your season expecting to make up revenue based on having people in the stands, I think is a bit flimsy. So I think what this does is, because you note, Woj says that it would be a 70 to 72 game schedule, but he also says that there would be the play-in tournament again, right? Kind of like what we saw in this bubble, where teams that were outside of the eight that would make the playoffs in each conference would get a chance to then play in and get into the playoffs. And I think that has some intrigue for the league to also sell another vehicle to advertisers and to the TV broadcast partners to make more money, to make up for the people who are not going to be in the stands.
It's going to be interesting because you hope that when you start, there's no stopping. And the reason they did the play-in tournament the way they did it this past year was to get everyone some games before the actual postseason started. And like, there were teams already included. They were like basically playing, like the Lakers were basically playing exhibition games. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like, that's why like no one really knew what they were watching when we went back to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like those, whatever, how many games, six games, however many, I don't even know now how many games they actually played.
I think it was
played.
Eight. Wasn't it?
Eight games.
Yeah.
And like it was odd, but now, if you have a full slate of action and you just included the teams who are on the brink of making the postseason and you had that sort of tournament, maybe there would be some sort of an intrigue, like a playoff before the playoffs. but
yeah, and also maybe because it's something that's been floated out there before for possible changes to make more revenue for the league would be a tournament of teams that are not in the playoffs to then give a playoff seed to a team that maybe goes on a Phoenix Suns like run for a week and a half and gets hot, you know, like the Bulls for all intents and purposes last year were out of it for the majority of the season. What if you had some intrigue where teams that were at the bottom had a chance to maybe play for a playoff spot, or they play for that number one pick or something
like that? Like an NCAA-style tournament with one game and done? Like, what are the playoff teams doing while these bad teams are playing to get into the postseason?
Yeah, and, like, that's what you would have to figure out, right? Like, because a team like the Lakers, the Bucks, the Rockets, those teams don't want to sit on the sidelines for 3 weeks while you figure out who the best of the worst teams in the league are, you know?
That's why I always wanted that lottery tournament. You were on board with it. You talked a lot about it. I've always been a fan of that. Like, instead of tanking, instead of the worst teams, like, and I know Waddle has always pointed out, well, what does Zach LaVine care if you get the number one pick? He may be traded anyway, and he's going to be one of the guys to help you get it. But I like where your team, that would take away tanking, and it would make, like, the team out of the postseason have to win to get the number one pick. Now, the worst team then wouldn't have a chance to win that tournament, and a lot of times then it would make better teams even better, and the worst teams would stay bad. But I've just always liked that hook.
Yeah,
you're always in go-for-it mode. You know, well, you're never giving up on a season.
Absolutely. And to Waddle's retort to you, the response would be, did you see Phoenix play in the bubble? They were not supposed to be there. Their odds were very low to actually make it into the playoffs. They didn't make it into the playoffs. But guess what? They played hard. Right? Like, those players played hard for each other and for the organization. So, like, yeah, I'm sure there were guys like Kelly Oubre who doesn't really care because who knows if he'll be with the Suns long term. He gave his all, though, in the bubble, right? And Devin Booker was awesome. And I'm sure if the Bulls were included in that, Zach LaVine would have played well and gave it his all for the Bulls.
It would, you know what, if you would play a tournament for the lotto spot for the number one pick also, it would prevent teams from having bad rosters. You would always want to spend your max cap. You would always want to have veterans because you'd try to position knowing that even if you didn't have a chance for the postseason, you would still want to be in a good spot for this tournament to go out and earn it. You know, there would be no reason for the Bulls to trade some of those veterans that were helping them a few years back.
You would never end up with a group of players who you knew were not good, but they were all just young and hanging around, right? Like, you would collect young assets, but then you would also try and build your roster with enough vets to at least be competitive.
You may want to even, like, at the trade deadline, enhance your team. You know what I mean? Because you know that the lottery tournament is coming up. I just think it's an interesting twist. I'm sure with me brainstorming this, there are many, many holes, but it's just with the developing news with the NBA. They want to do this play-in tournament. What Woj is reporting again, that the NBA season, it's still ongoing, the conversations with the NBA Players Association, but it looks like a 70 to 72 game schedule with a possible play-in tournament and them starting in the days before Christmas.
And to add to all this, Sylvie, I think it's the best idea for the league to start in the winter. I think this concept of waiting until April, May, June, and July to play your regular season so then you're competing against only baseball in the middle of the summer, I think there's a lot of flawed logic in that. I don't think that I feel like what we learned with the bubble is that people like their seasons to correlate with what they're used to. And we know basketball and hockey, the most important games are in May and early June. And that's what we like. We like watching the Hawks fight for a playoff spot in the spring. Same with the Bulls. And people were not consuming the NBA's product in the bubble against football and hockey and baseball and everything else that was going on at the same time. People were just not into it. I think it's a big mistake if they try and avoid or trying to make the schedule manipulates so they end right before football starts.
We all thought that the sports appreciation would carry the day and carry the ratings. And, like, the World Series numbers continue to be, like, historically low in the first two games, and we've got Game 3 tonight, which is a really good game, a really good pitching matchup with Morton and Buehler going at it. Carmen gave out the Rays earlier today, so I put a few bucks down on the Rays on the DraftKings app. 312-332-3776. So that's the news from the NBA. We got a lot going on in this rainy, gloomy, fall-like day in the city of Chicago. But let's get back to the Bears. Let's get back to the National Football League. Our good buddy, Field Yates, is going to join us next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Waddle will be back on Monday. Bears on Monday night football against the Rams. We're talking football as we are here on a Football Friday. Got some fun stuff coming up, too, that you can weigh in on. Our phone number is 312-332-3776. Field Yates does a great job on ESPN, and he's one of the coolest guys at the network. Very down-to-earth, has the best head of hair. And now more than ever, I admire that these days. But I got a little bit of it growing back, and Field Yates joins us now. Talk Bears and National Football League on the Corona Hotline. What's going on, Field?
Man, Sylvie, if I could have an introduction like that for every conversation that I have, my day would be better every time, man. I appreciate you, and I know this much, that when your hair is back in full, it will be the best set of hair in all of sports broadcasting. That much I am confident in.
That's totally not true. No, at least what I'm saying about you is true. And for guys like Matthew Berry and the other people who don't give you that good of an introduction, shame on them.
But you know what? Are you available for representation? Like, have you thought about being an agent? You're all that off time you have between being, you know, one of the great radio hosts in the country, plus being a dad and all the other responsibilities that you have? Because if not, you might have something coming for you.
Yeah, I got no time. I mean, and I've got a younger son that is absolutely off the charts these days where we have to pay attention. But let's talk about our Bears. I opened the show today, and you would really enjoy this because it's been a turbulent 5-1. That it's almost sounded like Philly sports radio where they keep on winning and we keep on complaining, and so do the fans. So when you look at our Bears at 5-1, what do you see?
So I know that we don't often like to draw comparisons between the Packers and the Bears, but didn't we spend all year last year saying there's no way the Packers can keep this up? There's just no way, right? They're a flawed team. They're not that good, not nearly as good as their record would indicate. And they went to the NFC Championship game, and maybe the Bears' fate isn't the same as the Packers' fate last year. They went 13-3, and as I just mentioned, they made it to the Final Four of the NFL. But I'm at the point now with the Bears that, like, I'm going to stop overthinking the beauty pageant side of it, right? Because they're not going to be the sexiest team on most Sundays or Monday night. But they keep winning, and I'm looking around at an NFL that has teams that are 1-5 or 1-4, like the Minnesota Vikings and the Houston Texans, that are complete disappointments. And I'd much rather be the Bears, who keep finding a way and scraping by, been one of those teams that is already looking forward towards 2021. So I think the Bears are well positioned to be in the playoffs. And if you are a fan of the Bears, isn't that about what you'd ask for this season?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, the 5-1 has been a gift. And all we want to see is average offense. And that's the difference with Green Bay. And I know Aaron Rodgers could still use some more weapons, and they didn't draft any for him. But that's the difference, is Nick Foles and Aaron Rodgers in the comp. But when you look at the Bears offense now with Foles, with still Nagy calling plays, with them towards the bottom at points per game and yards per play and all the different metrics, the inability to run the football field, what is your confidence level in them improving over the next 10 games where they could do some damage in the postseason?
It's not going to be a team that wins with offense at any point this year. I'm just not convinced based off what we've seen so far and the personnel that's in place. But, and again, I don't want to make historical comparisons every single year, but we've seen teams that have been, you know, not particularly opportunistic on offense that still find a way to do some damage come January. So part of, and this, I don't mean this in a negative sense, but with the advent of fantasy football and the popularity of fantasy football and all the great quarterbacks that we have right now, obviously we are drawn towards offensive football. But winning with defense is never going to be something that we get as on board with. So do I think the Bears offense gets much better than, what is it, like 21 points per game right now? And no, it's not much more than that. But do I think they can be good enough defensively where they're consistently holding teams to around 16, 17 points a game? I do, especially in an NFC that is not as good as I thought it was going to be this year. Certainly there are some great teams, and the Seahawks are awesome offensively, and the Packers are very good, and the Bucks are a good football team as well. But coming into the season, I would have thought that you could have had potentially, you know, three teams in the NFC North make some real noise between the Packers, Vikings, and Bears. And the Vikings, of course, are already moving on to 2021 with the trade of Yannick Ngakoue yesterday. So defense can go far in this NFC.
And I was going to ask you next about the trade deadline. It's on Election Day. And do you believe that this trade deadline could be different in the National Football League with a lot of teams out of it and some good players out there? Or do you think it will be relatively quiet? I guess my main point of asking is, can the Bears improve themselves with a trade or two, or is that still unlikely in the National Football League?
It's perhaps unlikely. So I would say, but there are two things that I think are really important to note is this year, I think even a fan would tell you this, anybody could tell you this, but I think people around the league feel like there is a massive drop off. Like the league is there's not a big middle class this year. It's a pretty small middle class. You either are really in or you're really out this year. And some of the teams that are really out are contenders coming into the season, Houston and Minnesota amongst others. Right. So I don't know that along those lines, you would think, all right, there could be more sellers than normal. Now, however, I've been cautioned by a lot of people within the NFL that while we're talking business and certainly fielding some offers or at least having conversations, it's a little bit more difficult this year to execute things, right? I mean, we know that just to get a guy in the building, he's got to pass 5 days of COVID protocols. There's uncertainty in terms of how much practice time you're going to have week to week. And normally the acclimation period for a player in the NFL would not be quite as challenging. I think with the natural hurdles this year that it'll deter some action, but keep your Shefty notifications on for November 3rd, 4 p.m. I'm sure he'll be all over whatever takes place around the NFL.
And a couple of wide receiver questions to wrap this up. What are you hearing, or what's the chatter going on regarding Michael Thomas in New Orleans with, you know, first the injury, then the discipline, and now another injury? Is there anything weird going on there?
I have been told, and maybe I'll come back to bite to eat these words, but I have been told that this latest situation is just medical, that he's got a hamstring issue that cropped up in the past few days. And next thing you know, or maybe within the last week, they were on their bye week. And that's limiting him to the point that he very well may not play on Sunday. It's not lingering discipline or unhappiness or him acting out or anything to that effect. So I believe this is truly a medical situation. As I have been telling people today, Sylvie, I wasn't prepared for a world. Well, a lot of things in 2020 have certainly happened none of us prepared for. But I was not prepared for an NFL world where Michael Thomas could conceivably enter the halfway point of the NFL season with 17 receiving yards. That was not amongst the things that I predicted coming into this year.
Yeah, that's stunning, stunning. And then with you mentioning the acclimation process, knowing what you know about Antonio Brown and how even when he went to the Raiders, it was a struggle the entire camp. And then, you know, one and done in New England. If indeed, like, he does sign with a team like Seattle, let's say, do you believe by the end of the year, would you bank on Antonio Brown being a contributor to one of these teams?
I would. And I know, and people will tell me you're crazy for thinking such is possible. I will just say this. The reason why Antonio Brown's tenure came to a close in New England was not about things that took place during his time as a member of the Patriots. It was about things that came to light that predated his time in New England. My guess is that teams that are considering Antonio Brown would view his situation as, you have basically paid all of the dues owed for all of the misgivings you've had in your past. We're welcoming you with a blank slate, and if you don't honor that blank slate, you're out of here. And I think for Antonio Brown, it will not be a lucrative deal he'll be signed. It will be a, I got to bet on myself and stay in the straight and narrow. Along those lines, I think Antonio Brown has a chance to stay with the team for the full year and be a valuable contributor.
Field, thanks for making time for us. We appreciate you.
Sylvie, you're the best, man. Sylvie Strong forever, and can't wait to catch up with you again sometime soon.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. Thanks, Field. Field Yates, one of the great guys in our business and super knowledgeable. For those who don't know his story, he started out as an intern in New England. He was a scout. I believe it was in Kansas City. He's been doing great work in Bristol on the news side and also the fantasy side. And really, really good and close to a lot of the guys at the radio station because he's been a part of our fantasy football convention for the last several years. Which games have you most interested in? We'll whip around the room. We'll talk National Football League. There's lots going on today. And then we'll get into some baseball conversation at 3.
This hour is brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Visit any of the 11 Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers today or learn more about the Acura MDX at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, the NFL full swing this weekend. We got college football in the Big Ten back. Illinois, Wisconsin tonight. We'll get to all of that. Got some baseball coming up. Want to take a couple calls and then whip around the league. Which game do you want to focus on the most on Sunday as a fan? The Bears are out of our way. Now, most of us love when the Bears play on Sunday. Sunday at noon, I still think that is fun when the Bears play, but this gives us all a chance to focus on Red Zone, to focus in on the games if you have the ticket or whatever you may have. 312-332-3776. Mitchell in Des Plaines, always good to hear from Mitchell. What's on your mind, my man?
Hey, what's up, 13 Virgo? Regarding the question you posed about 25 minutes ago about how deep are the Bears going to go into the playoffs, let alone wins. Now, we know that we got the component of, Foles being in the quarterback position. That's part one. If Nagy does not commit to the run, over the next 3 or 4 weeks, that's going to definitely impact those wins. Because for those fans that think that Nagy is going to be like this Jack Pardee, Neil Armstrong, Mike Ditka, Walter Payton-esque, smash mouth running football, that's not his style. And unless they can get that turned around, I don't know. But to me, it seems like his tendencies over the last few years with Nagy is this really, gadgety kind of offense. He doesn't really like to rely on that smash mouth, downhill running back type. So I think that's going to play a paramount importance, Team Virgo, with regards to how they attack these games. Now, Foles is cerebral. He's able to master the offense. It's going to come down to a healthy balance. I think with Foles is going to be competitive, but you're going to need that running game. I mean, look at Tennessee and what I call their ability to transform these wins with that balanced attack. And Tannehill is fantastic. And I want to put your focus on, folks, is the ball. I'm talking about Tannehill and Foles. They threw a beautiful striking, laser spiral that they never get with Team Trubisky. So I want your thoughts, Team Virgo. Okay. And I also want you to know real quick, when you have your cereal break, are you a Captain Crunch type of guy or are you a Raisin Bran kind of guy?
No, I mean, look, if given the choice, it's Captain Crunch all day. Raisin Bran, bro. Okay. I mean, I guess it's got its place, but I can't do that. I don't do the sugary cereals these days. I eat this one cereal that it's supposed to taste like the sugary cereals. They make a peanut butter flavor. They make a frosted flavor. They make a chocolate flavor. It's called Magic Spoon. and it's supposed to be healthy for you with protein and less carbs. I don't know if it is. I'm going to get a bowl of this from Waddle's World today. But, yeah, I mean, of course, Captain. Captain, what, you're not going Raisin Bran, are you?
No, I don't eat cereal. I mean, I had to grow up my entire early childhood with rice.
With those two choices.
Yeah, I had to grow up. I had the cereal life, and it's so ironic, you know. But the bottom line is that I was always impressed when I went to my friend's house, and their parents bought them, like, all the great sugar cereals, like Frankenberry and Lucky Charms. But in my adult years, you know, I don't eat breakfast. I don't eat cereal. So
right,
I just wanted to, you know, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Something. All right, thanks, Mitchell. I mean, you guys aren't Raisin Bran guys, are you? I mean, you got to, don't you need your brand?
I like Raisin Bran. I
mean,
think
it's not terrible, but
I think it's good. I was a Frosted Mini Wheats dude.
Ooh, Tom Scher.
Frosted Mini Wheats. Well, I didn't tell anybody to go pick up my kids from college, but
I don't know that reference.
You don't know that story? I was in the newsroom where he asked one of the interns to go pick up his kid from college.
Oh my.
I was one of the other interns, and I was like, don't you ask me.
Isn't he the one that's known in these hallways because when you would walk into the bathroom,
yes,
he would have the pants all the way down, even though he was standing
down
at the urinal.
The underwear off.
Like a little kid.
But yes, he would have his
pants. Like, isn't that, like, that's what, how your son's
down.
Probably, right, Sylvie? Like, you're helping your sons out. Like, they go all the way down. They take, you know.
Right, but he would keep
weird,
the underwear around and just.
But the trousers was at the floor.
It was the two most odd bathroom habits that I'd ever seen in the 20-plus years at ESPN 1000 was the one that you just mentioned. And not that I've seen this, I've just known about it, is that Yurko takes a sandwich in to go number two every now and then.
No, you don't take food or drink.
He does,
there.
Though.
That's
you know
so
that,
weird.
And he did that recently.
That's so weird.
He's
That's
done
so
that
weird.
Over the years.
No, I'm not a big sugary cereal guy. Like, I guess Frosted Mini Wheats are sugary because of the frosting. I'm more of like a honey nut Cheerios type of guy. Remember Team Cheerios? Do you remember Team Cheerios?
It was
three kinds of Cheerios. It was Frosted Cheerios, honey nut Cheerios, and regular Cheerios all mixed together.
Yeah, I was never a Cheerios guy. I was more a sugary cereal kid. When I was growing up, the basics, Frosted Flakes, the Captain Crunch. What was it? What's the pop cereal? Sugar.
Snap
Crackle Pops.
Corn Pops.
Corn Pops. Yes.
Right. That's,
well, I mean,
that's
Rice
what they're
Krispies,
called, right?
Of course. But yes, good call. Corn Pops. I mean, to eat Corn Pops, whether
good.
It was a full bowl of milk or just out of the damn box in front of the television with a whole slate of cartoons on a Saturday morning.
Oh, those were
that
good.
Was
if you
life.
Wanted Cinnamon Toast Crunch was great for that.
Yes.
Just straight out of the box.
And it still is, yes. I'm still a cereal guy.
Well,
but
now I have to go buy some cereal.
They're so bad for you. That's why I'm doing this new. And again, I don't endorse it. I don't get anything free from them. I get a subscription. And it's expensive as hell, though. Like, don't come back at me and tweet me, Sylvie, that recommendation for the cereal you gave, it's insane. Like, it's like $8 or $9 a box.
Yo.
Yeah, crazy.
Well, how many bowls are you getting out of that box?
Two.
That's it?
Two?
Well, I like a big
That's
bowl of cereal.
What is
a
this?
Bowl?
Beef jerky?
It's crazy. Chris.
You guys ever notice that beef jerky? You get a small little bag, it's like $14.
Well, yeah, because it's better for you these days, like Prevail.
Yeah.
But no. So this cereal is supposed to have protein, no sugar, and it's supposed to be good for you with low carbs. And so you pay for it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I mean, look, you go into the coffee shop and you're paying $4 for a cup of coffee a lot of times. This is like paying $4 for a bowl of cereal.
It's
ridiculous.
I was never a cereal guy in the morning, but cereal at the end of the night, like a dessert. Like instead of having dessert, I was all about cereal at like 10 o'clock at night.
I'm a cereal guy all day, every day. Morning, night, whenever.
Back in the day, I enjoyed a bowl after a good bowl.
Oh, nice. Very good. Which bowl came first, the cereal or the bowl?
The bowl, and then the cereal.
Okay, yes, then you got to let you had the munchies.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, okay. That's a given. Yeah.
All right, we got to go through the NFL, and then I want to ask people about this Marquee Network thing. Would you rather not be able to get it now? Or would you rather be able to get it but being charged a large amount of money? There's been some talk on social media about what's going on with Marquee. We'll get to all of that coming up in 2 minutes.